Amen. It's a real blessing to be here. I enjoyed Brother Strobel's message. I've enjoyed Brother Strobel's preaching for a long, long time. I've been saved 28 years, and as soon as I got saved, I listened to his preaching, and I was growing under his preaching. And when he was pastoring, I was just a baby Christian. And I really appreciate him and his ministry. We're good friends, and he's close by where we are. And he's been a real blessing to our ministry. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Can I give you a compliment? And I have to. I'm the kind of a guy that I have to tell you I'm giving you a compliment, all right? I feel like I'm at home.
Amen.
I feel like, and it hasn't always been this way. I used to come here, and I've been coming here for a number of years, and I'd show up here on a Wednesday night and come to prayer meeting. I'd sit off to the side there, and some of you would come in and kind of look at me. You wouldn't say anything. And then Thursday night, you'd come in, and somebody'd shake my hand, and then Friday, some two people would say hello, and it got warmer and warmer. It really did. And it's been getting good, and I've missed coming here when it's when you don't have these meetings. I think Dr. Ruckman should have like three a year. You know? I think that would be a real blessing. I've been influenced by this ministry, and I want to thank you. Thank you for your missionaries. Thank you for those men. They call us and say, "Can we come over and present our field?" None of them are like Dr. Ruckman. None of them are. And they're all individuals, and they're all blessings, and we appreciate those men and what they stand for and how they've been trained. Well, we're back again at the Baptist Vatican. And if this is the Baptist Vatican, Deuteronomy 32 says, "For their Pope is not as our Pope." You know, I'd come and see a hockey game between our Pope and their Pope. Wouldn't you come to that? But you say, "Well, poor old Mr. Catholic Pope, he's not doing so good." Well, why doesn't he call Benny Hinn? I mean, he's supposed to have some powers, isn't he? Why doesn't he do it? I mean, they got these miraculous feelings and healings going on. Why not do something for that poor fellow? You're not going to see it, and don't hang on to see it because you're not going to. Praise the Lord for Dr. Ruckman, this ministry, and thank you for the good friendship that you have given me. You know, when you first get saved, you lose some friends. You know what I'm saying? You lost some friends when you got saved and took a stand for Jesus Christ. I'm bragging here right now. I lost some friends coming to these meetings. But I've gained a whole lot more. I've gained a whole lot more. And I appreciate you very, very much. Amen. You know what I want to do? I want to be a help to you. I want to be a help to you. I'm not going to preach anything dark and doctrinal as far as something you've never heard before. I think I just feel like I want to be a help to you. Open your Bibles to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. I saw an interesting bumper sticker the other day. It said, "If you'd be a homeless person, you'd be there by now." I thought that made sense. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Father, thank you for the message we've already heard. Thank you for the challenges from the Word of God. Thank you for a faithful preacher. And Lord, thank you for this church, and thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for a pastor here that has a vision for his people. Lord, I ask that you do a work tonight. You hide me behind the cross, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and have these people not hear me or see me, but have them to hear from you. Lord, you know what the needs are. I pray you do a work in Jesus' name. Amen. What a simple verse, Luke 18:1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know what that verse says? It says if you don't pray, you're going to faint. I don't know what the Greek says, but that's what the English says. In other words, if you're not going to pray, you're going to fall by the wayside. You're going to faint. I appreciate so much what Brother Stolbe already said, but really, how is your prayer life? What is it all about? How about if we give some testimonies tonight of how you prayed today? How you went to God today? How you spoke to God today? I was flying up here, and it's amazing to me what people are doing now with cell phones. Isn't that amazing? What did we do without cell phones 5 years ago? Everywhere you turn, people are talking on cell phones. And it's because they want to communicate with somebody else. I was sitting in the Atlanta airport. I was delayed for just 6 hours. And I was reading a magazine, and there was a man sitting diagonally across me. There was nobody around him. All of a sudden, he started to talk. And he said, "Yeah, that's the way we ought to do it, and that's fine. I think that's great. Let's go ahead and do it." I said, "Who is he talking to? What's going on?" And he had a little microphone in here and in his ear, and he's talking. He looked like a fool, but just talking away. People have no trouble communicating. They have no trouble when they want to talk to somebody to just start talking. I'm walking down the street or walking in the mall with my family a while ago, and there's somebody behind us, and they start talking. And I turn around and I say, "What is it?" And they say, "We're on the phone." They're talking to somebody else. Oh, gee, that's what you want to do. You want to talk. You want to talk. You're so interested in talking. You're so interested in communicating. Let me ask you, how are you communicating with God? Tell me about your prayer life. How's it been? How's it going? What did you say to Him today? What did He say back to you today in your prayer life? Was your prayer life just limited to, "Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to our body. Amen"? Has it been just driving in traffic and somebody almost hit you and says, "Thank you, Lord"? Is that it? Is that as far as it's gone? The Bible says if you don't pray, you're going to faint. And it's getting tougher every day. Things aren't getting better in the world. They're getting worse. You know that's getting worse. We had an all-night prayer meeting at our church a while ago, and I had a man that really loved the Lord. He was growing in the Word of God, And he says, "Pastor, can I pray with you?" And I said, "Sure, Bob, you can pray with me. Let's pray." And he says, "Let me pray first." And he says, "I'll tell you what." He says, "I'm going to pray for an hour. And then after I pray, you pray." I said, "All right, Bob, let's do it." So we knelt down in the front pew, just about over here, and we put our faces down into that cushion, and Bob starts praying, and Bob's going at it, and "Lord, you've done this, and Lord, we need this, and this is how things are going, and God, do that, and in Jesus' name I pray." And he looked at me and he said, "Pastor, how long was I praying?" I said, 3.5 minutes, Bob. And he was embarrassed, and later on he said to me, he says, "Pastor, I didn't know what to pray." Do you know what to pray? You know what I want to do tonight? I want to be a help to you. I want to give you some pointers, and this is just from me to you, on what you ought to pray for. Oh, maybe you do this, and if you do, praise the Lord. But if you don't, maybe I can be a help to you. Maybe you do some of these things, but you don't do all of them. I want to be a help to you. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Things you ought to pray for. Simple message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look with me in verse 18. You believe the Bible, don't you? Every word of God is pure. This word is inspired. You believe it. You hold it up. You proclaim it. You defend it. Verse 18 says of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." See, what's the will of God in my life? One of them is that you give thanks. You know what your prayer ought to consist of primarily? Before you do anything else, you ought to thank God. You got anything to thank God about tonight? Really, think about, is there anything that you could just say, well, Lord, thank you. Remember when your eyes opened this morning and you saw the ceiling? Did you thank God you could see? Remember when you shifted over and you threw your feet down to the floor and you could feel the floor and you stood up and your legs held you up? Did you say, thank you, Lord, I can walk? Did you thank the Lord when you maneuvered your carcass into the bathroom and you turned the and you looked in the mirror and you said, oh my God, and turned the water on and you could feel? Did you thank God you had hot water coming out of the faucet? Did you thank God you had running water? I bet you didn't thank God for that today. Did you thank God when you got into your automobile and you turned the key and it started? Because when it doesn't start, you sure have something to say, don't you? You say, well, it starts and it keeps on starting and it started all the time and it's always going to start. You have no idea of how much God controls in our lives. You know what it says in Colossians? It says, in Him all things consist. In other words, He holds everything together. And all He's got to do is go like this. Boom, 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 boom. You know what God's saying? He says, give it another beat. Give it another beat. Give it another beat. Give it another beat. You don't understand. You got these electronic things going in your body, and that's causing your heart to beat. No, every time my heart beats, God says, go, you do it again. Every time I breathe, every time my lungs take in air, God says, you can do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Oh, no, that's because of the tissues in our lungs, and that's because of this muscle. No, it's not. It's because of God. And the sooner that you found out that God's in control, the better off your prayer life's going to be, and the more thankful you're going to be. I got 3 grandchildren, 1 on the way. Every time I see those grandchildren, I thank God. Yeah, one of them, her name is Rebecca. Her eyes are like garbage can covers. Huge. Yes. Big brown eyes. And you know when she was born, you know what? My wife and I went to the hospital, and my daughter was she was doing all right. She's, come on, I want to show you the baby. And we looked in to see the baby, and I didn't check to see if the baby looked like the daughter or the or her mom or like the dad. You know what I did? I looked at that baby and I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 2 ears, 2 eyes. You know why? That sure would be a good time for God to get me. All the times that I've reneged on God and turned my back on God and said, God, I don't want to read your book. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do this. So many times God's been good to me. He could have got me with those kids. And you know what? You do the same thing. God's good to you every day. You've had food in your mouth 3 times today at least. You've had a roof over your head. You've got a warm bed to crawl into tonight. And you never one time today said thank you. You say, I've earned it. I've got a job. I've got a degree. That's not honoring to God. The Bible says in all things to give thanks. You thank God you were here. You thank God you've got a place, you've got a church to come to and a warm church to come to. There's walls around this place. You talk to some of these missionaries, they'll tell you what kind of churches they have. You know, you ought to thank God you've got a preacher that sticks to the Word of God, knows the Word of God, teaches you the Word of God. You thank God for that? Look at me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. First order of business in prayer is thanking God. You ought to know this chapter by heart. 2 Timothy 3. Talking about today. This know also that in the last days, that's where we are, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Who is that? It's you. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, this is the end times. This is just before the Antichrist. This is just before the rapture. This is what's going on in the evil world out there. It sounds like a whole bunch of Christians. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's the next word? What is it? What is it? You know what the Bible says? In the last days, people are going to be unthankful. Yeah, they take it for granted. Take it for granted. Your shoes fit? You got more than one pair? You probably have more than one closet at home, don't you? Maybe a two-car garage? Money in the bank? Check coming? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to maneuver around like Brother Harrison does. Thank you, Lord, I don't have to go tomorrow morning for dialysis. You know, most of you don't even wear a hearing aid. Isn't that right? Huh? Thank God. Well, my wife, she's kind of ornery, you know. Just thank God for her. It could be worse. You know, my wife and I are married 35 years. For our 35th anniversary, I took her to Hawaii. For our 40th, I might bring her home. I'm not real sure. You know what we teach our kids to do? This is what we teach our kids. Here we go. What do you say? Here you go. What do you say? What do you say? Thank you. Thank you. How can we teach our kids to say that and the children of God have difficulty saying thank you? You might not agree with the president. You might not agree with this country. You might not agree with what's going on in Washington or the military. But you ought to thank God you live in a free country. You know what? I flew here from Rochester, and I never once had to show my passport to some military people. I mean, it might get to that one day. But we ought to thank God for the freedom we have today. I'm thankful. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you I'm saved. Lord, thank you I have a perfect book. Lord, thank you I have a promise of heaven. And Lord, beside that promise, there's this promise and this promise and this promise and this promise. And you've got a book full of promises. You know your greatest problem is already solved? You're going to heaven. Oh, what about this? What about, you ought to thank God for your problems, too. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Listen, would you please do this? This will help you. Put some thanksgiving into your prayer. Look with me in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in Romans 7, look at one verse, verse 18. This is what Paul's saying. Romans 7, 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You know what Paul said about himself? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. And you know what you do? You look in the mirror and you stiff yourself up and you think you're pretty good and you compete yourself against somebody else and you say, well, look at him and look at me and I'm just better than they are. And you try and fix yourself up and you know how those things go. You know what you ought to do? You know what you ought to pray? Listen to this. You ought to pray, Lord, let me see myself the way you see me. Let me say it again. Lord, let me see myself the way you see me. See, if you want to see yourself the way you see yourself and you look in that mirror. Can I ask you to look in another mirror? Can I ask you to look in this mirror? And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. And you know what you do? You compare yourself with him and say, I'm not so bad. Look what he's doing. And you compare yourself with them and say, hey, I'm not as bad as they are. How about saying, Lord, why don't you show me what I'm all about? Lord, what would I have to do to please you more? What would I have to do to please the Creator more. That's what you're here for. That's what Revelation chapter 4 tells us, to give Him pleasure. Lord, what would I have to do to give You pleasure? You know, you husbands and wives, and Brother Strobel was preaching that faithfulness, that's so true. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go to God and say, Lord, what can I do for You today? What can I do? What is it about me, Lord, that I don't see? And Lord, I'm putting makeup on and I'm trying to cover something up. Show me what I really am in Your eyes. And you'll only see that one way, if you get into this Bible. Because you know what the world says about you? You're all right. You're all right. I mean, look what Kobe does. If Kobe does that, you're not so bad. If Michael Jackson does this, you're not so bad. You know what Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, thank You for what You do. Lord, let me see myself as You see me. You know what? I used to work for Eastman Kodak, and every once in a while we'd have something called a performance appraisal. And you'd be working 6 months or a year, and then the boss would call you in, and he'd have a sheet of paper there, and he would tell you what your performance was all about. And it all depended really on how you impressed him. Now, you thought, I did a pretty good job, and when you went in there and he read that to you and he showed you what you did, if your expectations were what he said, you did all right. But if your boss would say, well, you know, you just didn't do right and this project wasn't completed when it was supposed to be and you overran the budget here, well, you just didn't get a good performance appraisal. And so many times when we'd go in and talk to the boss and the supervisor, people would come out and say, oh, that boss doesn't know what he's talking about. He's stupid, he's dumb, he's crazy. Yeah. But you know what? The boss is right. And you know what? When God points His finger at you and says, you ought to get that thing right, you ought to do what's right, you've got a shortcoming here and you're not doing that right and you're not faithful to that, you say, thank You, Lord. That's what I need to improve. You know, that's what altars are for. That's what invitations are for. That's what conferences are like this. Brethren, I hope you don't think I'm here to entertain you. Say, well, you know, give us a couple of more one-liners. I'm not here to do that. I want to help you. But listen, the Word of God, Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, I don't want to see myself as I am to myself. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Lord, how do I look to You? Look at Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Look how simple this is. Psalm 17. Psalm 17, look at verse 5. Psalm 17, verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. That my footsteps slip not. Let me show you a verse to go with that. Go to Luke chapter 22. That my footsteps slip not. Luke chapter 22. And in Luke 22, look at verse 40. Luke 22, verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now, who said that? Who said that? Who said, pray that you enter not into temptation? The Lord. Who did He say it to? His disciples. Notice the example God gives us here and the admonition He gives us. He says, pray, and here's what you ought to pray. Pray that you don't fall. Pray that you don't slip today into sin. Listen, you get up and you get dressed and you go outside your house, and there's temptation, 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 temptation on billboards and music in the front of theaters, in the shopping malls, temptation, 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 temptation. And you know what? People are falling left and right, right and left, and just falling in their sin, in the temptation of the world. And you know what? I bet none of you say, Lord, don't let me fall into temptation. You know, we've got to be real careful. That's part of the Lord's Prayer, and that's not for us. Be careful you don't slip. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to go through today. I'm going to be in the airport. I'm going to be in the mall. I'm going to be with some people. Don't let me fall into temptation. How many times have you fallen today? Well, you know, Pastor, we're going to fall. We're human, you know. We're in the flesh. And I know that. But can you pray that you fall less and less and less and less every day? You know what the Lord says? He says, be holy, for I am holy. What's that mean? Well, that's just that characteristic that's unattainable. If it's unattainable to be holy, why does He tell you to be holy? Lord, I've got a tendency to be angry. Don't let me fall into that temptation. Lord, I've got that tendency to be jealous. Don't let me fall into that temptation. Lord, I've got that tendency when I pick up that newspaper to look at those other... Don't let me fall into that temptation. Lord, when I'm flipping through those channels and I want to find that sports channel, and don't let me fall into that temptation. I think that's a pretty good prayer. I think it'll be a help to you. I think it'll be a blessing to you. I think it'll help you get closer to God. It'll help you love God. It'll help you for some victories in your Christian life. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Lord, thank you. Lord, let me see myself as you see me. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Look at James chapter 1, verse number 5. James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. You know what the Lord says? If you want wisdom, ask me. How many of you could use some more wisdom? Would you raise your hand? What if you got a call from your bank and they said, we're in a real fix. We've got all these 20s and 50s laying around here. And all you have to do is drive over to the bank, grab a shopping bag, and take all you want. What would you do? I mean, your wife would run you over getting there first. But you get to that bank. Why? It's free. It's free. That money is free. Can you imagine what I can do with that? You know what God says? I'll give you some smarts. Haven't you made some poor decisions in your life? Haven't you lacked wisdom? Haven't you said some things you really shouldn't have said? And said, man, I just didn't use that wisdom. The Lord says, I got a whole pile of wisdom for you. Come on over. Ask me. Lord, I'm going to be going through such and such. I'm having a meeting today. Lord, give me wisdom. That's something good to add to your prayer line. You do need it, don't you? Pompous windbag. Well, you don't need it, but you need it. Get mad at me. Get mad. You hate me. I wouldn't sign your Bible if you paid me. Fine. But I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you ask God for some? You say, I just love Brother Strobel's preaching. That's good. Where does he get that? Because he prays for wisdom. I just love Brother so-and-so. How does Dr. Ruffin know all that? He prays for wisdom. You want to know something? The stuff I learned from this book, gentlemen, don't get offended at me. I didn't learn a lot of it from preaching. I learned it in my own personal Bible study. And I said, wow, look at that little pearl there. But you know when I learned it? When I asked God for wisdom. When I said, I can't do it on my own. I'm dumber than the post. Lord, show me. And He does. I don't know if that's true. That probably won't happen. Why don't you try it? Why don't you try it before you knock? Lord, I'm having trouble raising my kids, and they're going every which way, and I'm having trouble with my husband, and I'm having trouble. Whatever your problem, whatever your need is, whatever's going on. Listen, pray for our ministry. We're about to get into a building program. And yeah, help me, Lord. And I'm asking God for wisdom. What are we supposed to do? We don't owe anybody any money right now. And we're going to have to get into debt to build this building. And you know what? It's going to be a school building, and we want to move out of our Sunday school building and build Sunday school classrooms, and then eventually have a Christian school. Is that a good idea? My pastor, Pastor Miles, told me, he says, two things you should never do. One of them is go in a building program, and the other one is start a Christian school. And my people come to me and say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I, excuse me, I got to go with the wisdom. Get some wisdom. I'm asking God for wisdom. I don't know the answers. Would you please pray for us? Would God give me the wisdom to do what's right? I don't want to build just to build. Well, did you hear about Brother So-and-so? He's building and he's building. I had a preacher once say, you're out of the will of God because you need to build. I said, okay, give me some money. You know what I'm doing? I'm praying for $12 million. Now, we don't need $12 million for this building. We only need about $1 million. And I said, God, if you give me $12 million, we can build this building. I can do this. I can do this. Do this. I said I'd give $1 million to Dr. Ruckman for missions. And you said, what else are you going to do with that? Just get me to $12 million first. I said, Lord, you give me $12 million. We're going to do this. I'm going to help this missionary. I'm going to help this ministry. I'm going to help this do this. Yeah. And I had a lady in my church. She says, Pastor, I'm praying for $20 million. I said, what are you going to do with $20 million? She says, out of the $20 million, I'm going to give you 12. So I'm asking all the people to pray for like $20 million. I mean, listen, I promise you, you pray for $20 million and God gives you 20, if you give me 12, I'll give you another million. See, I don't understand it. Just pray for God to give me $12 million. But listen, how do you know God won't do that in the first place? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing? We got to heaven and praise the Lord, we're up in heaven and the world's all, you know, that earth is done. And the Lord says, you big dummy, I had money sitting here for you. Why didn't you pray for it? Why didn't you ask for wisdom? Look at all this. Look at all that I had for you. You didn't trust in me. The Lord says, hey, you need wisdom? Ask for it. Some of you think ignorance is a premium. How am I going to raise my kids? How am I going to pastor my church? To ask God for wisdom. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And in verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, show me the wonders of your book. Lord, show me the wonders of your book. You say, I know the wonders. You know what some people are? They're trapped in the Psalms. They're trapped in a proverb a day. They're trapped in the Gospels. And they're afraid to go to the Old Testament. You know how many pearls and nuggets and wisdom and blessings are there. I mean, look at the stuff Brother Strobel just showed you tonight. Lord, show me The wonders of your... You know it's a wondrous book. And God can show you what's in that book. I heard an illustration Jack Hiles made one time. He was flying and he looked across the aisleway and there was a woman reading a book, and it was one of his books that he wrote. And he got all twinkle dusted and he went and sat next to her and he says, "Are you enjoying that book?" And she says, "Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if I understand this book." And he says, "I can explain it to you." And she says, "Well, what makes you think you can explain it?" He says, "I wrote it." Get the point? Hey, Holy Spirit, can you help me? Sure, I can help you. And how can you help me, Holy Spirit? Because I wrote it for you. I mean, who are you going to go to some book? Somebody's going to explain? I like what Sam Gibbs says. He says, don't read a book about a book you're supposed to read. Read the book. God will show you. Lord, what's this mean? I'll show you. I wrote it. Where's this connection? Just keep reading it. Just keep reading it. You know what you do? You read the book and you have a question, you write it down. And say, Lord, show me the answer to this. He'll show it to you. It might not be the next day or the next week or the next month, but in time you keep that thing written down, he'll show you the answer. It hasn't happened to me once or twice or 25 times. It's happened a whole lot more than that. What a thrill it is to find that pearl. What a thrill it is to find that nugget. I don't know if I want to do that. Then sit there and be lazy. Sit there and have somebody else serve you. And then walk out here and look at the world instead of hearing the answers of your prayer life. Lord, thank you. Lord, let me see myself as you see me. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, let me see the wonders of your book. Look at this last one, 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We love this chapter. It's about the rapture. Look at verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, I know what you ought to pray for, the Lord to come back. Yeah. But look at the last verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, you can't comfort people unless you're with them. Like what Brother Strobel said, you ought to go to church. You know what? I believe in home school. I don't believe in home church. And you know what you ought to pray for? You ought to pray, Lord, let me be a blessing to my church. Lord, let me be a blessing to my church. You know what you do? You know what you do? You come into church like this. What can I get? Well, let's see how number one's going to do tonight. Well, how's number two? Well, I'm not sure. Number one, number two. And how'd you like that thing? Well, that didn't turn me on. And that I'm not sure if I did that. And you come in here, and you know why you do that? Because you're so used to going to the shopping center and taking that cart and going around and saying, I'll take this, and I'll take this, and I'll take this, and I don't take this, and I don't want this, and I don't want this. And you want to be served. Because you sit there and you press that button, it changes channels and volume and everything for you, and you just sit there and enjoy instead of serving. Listen, you are saved to serve. Lord, let me be a blessing to my church. Who have you been a blessing to tonight? Who have you comforted tonight? Who have you gone over to and say, listen, I want to encourage you. Listen, I know who you are. What's your name? I'm going to pray for you. Well, that takes too much work to do that. But that's what the church is all about. Brother Strobel said, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. Well, what does it say to do? Encourage one another. That's why you get together. you come like this, why don't you decide you're going to come to church, you're going to give? I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. Well, you know, that one guy there, that I don't like him. He's kind of, you know, he's, first of all, he's overweight. And, you know, his wife talks a mile a minute, and I don't want to. Why don't you go over to him? Why don't you pray for him? Well, you know, I don't want to work in that nursery. You know, those kids, you know, I had my share. You know, I raised my kids, and I'm sick of those odors anyway, and I don't want to. Why don't you be a blessing to your church? Why don't you do this? Why don't you go to the pastor or to the associate pastor or the youth pastor or somebody and say, hey, listen, what can I do for you today? How can I be a blessing to you? Lord, how can I be a blessing to my church? What can I do for you? What can I do to encourage the church? We don't know who's here. We don't know what they're going through. Somebody might be here the last time. Somebody might be ready to throw in the towel. I've heard it happen more than once. Somebody's gone and somebody says, hey, who are you? What's your name? Where's... Well, I... And then later you find out that was supposed to be their last day. You know what they've been through. Why don't you pray and say, Lord, show me somebody to minister to. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. Why should I do that? Because it's the right thing to do. And the Bible says, you know what we're to do? We're to comfort one another with these words. Hey, having a rough day today, right? Yeah, I can see it. And I'm sorry you're having a rough day. But you know what? Jesus might come back today. Hang in there. Keep going. Keep kicking. Well, it's important things to pray about. Lord, bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you. I didn't get in that accident. How about thanking God tonight? How about before you go to, when you pillow your head tonight and before you drift off, say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I didn't have to take any medicine to go to sleep. I don't have any machines hooked up to have my body continue to function. Lord, let me see myself as you see me. Lord, listen, I'm going to be into the world. I'm going to drive there tomorrow. I'm going to be with some people. I got to hobnob and rub elbows with the world. Lead me not into temptation. I know where I'm not supposed to go. I know who I'm not supposed to talk to. Lord, give me the strength around that. Lord, I know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to raise the family. I don't know how I'm going to handle these finances. Lord, give me the wisdom. Lord, when I read this book, show me the wonders of it. Encourage me through it, Lord, that I might be able to encourage others, that I might be a blessing to them, that I might be a blessing to my pastor, that, Lord, I would put a smile on your face. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what we've heard. Thank you for Brother Strobel. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for these people. And, Lord, I pray you do work here tonight. Pray, Lord, you continue to bless, guide us, and lead us, and have us to count on you in every way we can. Lord, I love you. I never needed you more. Bless this ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. I believe in some time it's just going to let the Word of God just sink in. We're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry to get results. Now, you've heard some stuff, and I want to get in your bone, your marrow, and do something for you. You heard some stuff. This meeting got off to a flying start. It's too fast for me. I want to keep up this thing or not, man. Looks like these fellows crept about all you need to hear the rest of the week. I don't see how you can get any harder or straighter. You got it, but you got it. And I want to think about it. So, I'll give an invitation tonight. We'll just let you go home and think about it. You get, before you go to bed tonight, you can review some of what you heard tonight and be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Now, the stuff you heard about the churches and this thing these fellows told you is true. A lot of you folks coming down here, I know what it's like out there. I was out there as an evangelist 12 years before I was a pastor, and I'm still holding two meetings a month. I know what the condition the country's in. And I know why some of you folks don't want a church. They ain't a cotton picking church within 20 miles of you that even believes the book. That's what you got into. And he told you, go to local church, he said, one that believes the book, they're getting hard to find these days. But like he said, now, if you can't possibly get it anywhere, he gave you good advice. You start a church. If you know the Bible so well, you can correct all these pastors where you go. Yeah, man. Then you're never going to be satisfied with them, so quit trying. Start your own work. If you know the Bible that well, some of you didn't know the Bible that well. Some of you had the Bible well, where you'd have to travel 80, 90 miles to find a man that you'd go along with in the book. All right, well, come on, if you don't like it, show us how it should be done. Amen, amen, amen. All right, let's stand for a prayer and be dismissed. And tomorrow morning, here we go again, 10 o'clock. And it looks like things are going to fly this week. But like I said, I want you to know, you got a heavy load tonight, boy. These Yankees got off the strip fast, man. It's flying now. And I know it'll get better. Oh, I'll have some fellowship here before you leave. Meet some of these folks, get to know them. Got some good folks here. And probably have enemies here. I haven't been any place, so I'd expect them. And the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. I feel, friends come and go, but one good enemy will last you for a lifetime. And when I preach in a meeting, if I don't make two or three lifelong enemies, I consider the meeting to be a failure. But I've got a lot of friends here. And believe it or not, I've got friends. I do. I have people who love the book. And I got a lot of them here tonight. And appreciate you coming. These fellows you've heard now, these are some of my buddies through the years, these fellows. I preached for Brother Kovacheski up there in his place there years ago. I knew him when I met over at Bible Baptist Church in Rochester years ago. I know these fellows for years. And these fellows can preach. They can preach. Now, what you got tonight, those two messages, you may not know it. But that stuff was as close and straight and hard and biblical and as spiritual as anything you ever heard Billy Graham or Jack Hiles preach in their life. And these highlights, these big Christian celebrities, that doesn't always mean you're getting the real thing. But you're getting it now. You get it now. All right. See you tomorrow morning, Brother Donovan, if you would dismiss us in prayer.